This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're now listening to Boomsies with Dan O'Toole on the Bet Rivers Network.
It's a Boomsies. A Boomsies. Refreshed from Dover, Delaware. Delaware. Had never been to that state. I will say this, there is no sales tax. If anyone ever asks me about Delaware, that's the first thing I will tell them. Because we as Canadians, we are so used to paying taxes. It's so normalized that when you go to the till with something that's $5 and they asked for $5 from you, you think you're on candid camera. You're like, it must have been on sale. No, that's the price. But okay, what's the catch? Just give me $5. I felt like I was in the IKEA commercial where they get the deal and the ladies, start the car, start the car. My Ruby was with me. I'm like, Ruby, there's no tax here. He's like, yes, well, I don't care. So we bought a couple cars. We'll get into the BetRivers 200. Right after I get to emails off the top because of last week's episode. I have to say we had the most feedback of any episode we've done since probably the episode in which I talked about sobriety in detail. So thank you for all your emails. I'm going to get to a few here. Last week I just did it from the heart. Talked about life and doing the podcast and all that stuff, and it resonated with a lot of people. This one here, first time email. Hi, Dan and the gang. One of your loyal female listeners here. I've listened to your podcast from the Jay and Dan days. Now Boomsies. Even saw you live in Regina with Jay. It was a great night. I remember that. We were, in the bottom of an auditorium with a low ceiling. And then Cody Fajardo came out and delivered a pizza, and the place went nuts. It was a great moment. I continue. I've never emailed a show or anything like this before. Just wanted to say that there are lots of people listening to you and wishing you the best. I really like hearing your personal stories and family stories. One thing, has anyone ever mentioned how great Z Money's laugh is? It's such a boisterous laugh. I just wish he had it more often. There's a perfect example in last week's episode. You should clip it out and play it on repeat. It makes me laugh out loud every time he laughs. Am I the only one who's pointed this out? Z Money, laugh for us.
Yuck, yuck.
So, love feedback on Z Money's laugh. It is great. Who was that email from? That email was from Tracy. Thanks, Tracy. From Tannis, Hi, Dan. Listen to your podcast today, and I can definitely relate. I just want you to know that you coming on air every week brings me, and I'm sure a lot of people, quite a bit of joy. I've been listening to you and watching you since the early days of the show. That will not be named. And you, along with Jay, brought me out of some pretty sad days by making me laugh over the craziest things. When I saw that you had a podcast and that you were back, I jumped on board right away every single Wednesday, and it's something I look forward to during the week. I know it sounds corny, but it's special to me because you've been a part of my life and I'm sure others' lives for many years. I'm a 49-year-old woman who was raised on sports, laughter, and a little bit of sarcasm. You're great at keeping that alive in me. Just know you are needed, followed, and appreciated. I have a small following, but I'll be sure to be sharing your podcast every week to all my friends and family and followers. That's great, Tannis. Thank you. From Big Dog Rob, Toolsy, just listened to episode 115, and your vulnerability and openness about your struggles have inspired me to be vulnerable and open. So you needed to take a step back and just have a me episode. Who hasn't? You're human, and if we lived close to each other, I'd be there for you like you would be for me, for all of us. Your podcast came along at a point in my life when I needed direction about my struggles, and hearing you being so brave in public drives me to be a version of myself. Thanks, Toolsy. Your pal, Big Dog Rob. Greg, hey, Dan, you were talking about how your current job is very different than your old one and how there's a lot of pressure to come up with material. My two cents, keep doing what you're doing. You keep showing up and you keep listening. You bring entertainment, you bring joy, you bring optimism and inspiration. I love it. Thank you, Greg and Fredericton. And Tina, just be you, because everyone listening wants to hear you shoot the shit. It's real. It's valued. The pre-processed podcasts are a dime a dozen and don't last. That's just a few of them. I'm glad who mentioned that. Greg mentioned showing up. I've said it before. My mom now says it to me all the time. Just show up. That's 99% of life. Just show up. You don't know what's going to happen. Great things can happen when you just show up. For your kids, your family, your friends. And then deep down for yourself. Helps a lot. You know who showed up on Monday night? The Toronto Maple... Oh, sorry, Tuesday night? The Toronto Maple Leafs. I was ready to sit here and talk about how the Maple Leafs will spend the offseason restructuring, rebuilding, retooling, and gutting the place. But I won't be doing that today. The Maple Leafs won a game without Austin Matthews. I can't get... So Austin Matthews and Willie Nylander have played in the lineup at the same time for all of two periods this playoff series. What I still find baffling is that the broadcast does not mention it after they say Austin Matthews or Willie Nylander's not in the lineup. There is no mention of it. Like it's a fourth line winger that's not playing. Yep, he's not playing. Let's move on. Strikes me as very odd how they don't try to get to the bottom of the injury. I don't know if they don't want to speculate, but give us something. What I witnessed from that Leafs team was no need to get one guy the puck. They played a team game. And then the internet went nuts when everyone saw the replay of the winning goal in overtime and John Tavares winning a race to the outside to get to the puck to the front of the net to Nyes to score the winner. Everyone's like, JT, what? Where'd this come from? I've watched it so many times. You see his man like stutter step, like, oh crap, I'm getting beat. I'm getting beat. Joseph Wall, spectacular. Stood on his head. Like a lot of Leafs fans, I was sitting there thinking, oh man, this guy was in net for the final game last year. Don't do this. Don't do this to this guy. His be a blow to his confidence. Oh, man, I was in net for the elimination game again. Max Domi had a great game. I love cheering for that guy. And now the Leafs are back home with a chance to bring it to a game seven, to force a game seven. So I called Bixie, Brian Bickle, Stanley Cup winner today, and I'm like, Bix, is the Boston Bruins team psychologist now just calling each player every 5 minutes on the Bruins? Okay, don't think of last year. Don't think about last year. How can you not? Bruins were up 3-1. Man, they lost in game seven in the first round. That is in their brains. And now they have a goaltending situation. Jeremy Swayman did not lose that game for the Bruins. They lost 2-1 in overtime. He played great. Do you stick with him? The Bruins have gone between Ullmark and Swayman all season long. I haven't looked into it, but I am almost 99.9% certain neither of them has played four games in a row. Because Ullmark has not played since game two in which the Leafs won. So there is a lot going on. Leafs fans, the pressure's on them again. Make some freaking noise. It happened to the Bruins fans last night. They were dead. The Bruins controlled the puck for all of 5 seconds. They just fell flat. All the pressure is on the Bruins. The Leafs are like, "What? We weren't supposed to win that game." So does Austin Matthews play? Does Nylander play? Do they get into a fight on the bench again? And that clip of the fight, everyone said Nylander was yelling at Marner. He was yelling at Austin Matthews. Almost confident. Very confident that he was yelling at Austin Matthews. Because he was looking at him. He wasn't looking at Marner. He was looking at Matthews. And then Bertuzzi. The classic. Nothing's going on here. Oh, what's going on up in the 300 level over there? I'm just going to look at that. Pretend this isn't happening in front of me. Played it like a pro. So the Leafs stave off elimination. Ullmark and Swayman, neither have ever won an elimination game. That's in their heads. The Winnipeg Jets were not able to do that against the Colorado Avalanche. After game one, we're like, oh man, this Jets team, they might do it. And then the Avs became the Avs. Whatever team comes out of the West, look out. I have the Oilers winning the cup, but Oilers, the Avs, whichever, like, I don't know, man. I'm terrified if I'm a team in the East. Carolina is still the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup. I'm pretty sure those odds haven't changed. That's how they went in. They got rid of the New York Islanders. So they have now time to rest. Stanley Cup playoffs has been spectacular again. So much to try to pay attention to in the first round. So when there's a lull in the action and only one game like there is Thursday, Leafs and Bruins, it lets you catch your breath. You're like, okay, I can just focus on one thing. CBC/Sportsnet overjoyed. A ratings winner for Thursday. They needed that. Because once the Leafs are gone, your ad revenue goes in the toilet. And then last week, we had the passing of an icon. Z Money's the one who actually gave me the heads up. Sent me a text. He said, "Hear about Bob Cole?" And I'm like, "Oh no. Oh no." I knew he was of the age, didn't know his health status. And then I spent the day on YouTube watching Bob Cole clips. Bob Cole was one of the reasons maybe the reason I got into broadcasting. Bob Cole and also Mark Hepscher and Jim Taddy hosted Sportsline on Global. I would watch that show religiously. It was the only way to get sports highlights. And Bob Cole every Saturday night, calling games and the way he called games. And once I got out into the world, I realized, holy shit, I know a lot of people that feel exactly like me. Some of my best friends in the world are worshipers at the altar of Bob Cole. Where the second we get together, within 5 minutes, someone throws out a Bob Cole line. Should be a sellout, and it is. Here is Gretzky scores. So I posted a tribute to Bob Cole. And again, I don't go into the comments. I click it away from my face, but one of them popped up before I could click it back. So I said, there's never going to be another. And one person said, there's always going to be another. Who says that? And why say that? And I can tell you, there will never be another Bob Cole. No disrespect to current announcers, but they don't have the same gravitas. Maybe Sam Rosen on the Rangers broadcasts. He has an iconic voice, and he can anticipate plays in which, okay, I sense something big here is going to happen. And Bob Cole had that ability. Back in my drinking days, we would play a drinking game centered around Bob Cole, in which when he called an Ottawa Senators game, every time he said Ottawa, you would have to take a drink. By the end of the first period in one of those games, I was sloshed. I'm not making this up. And this doesn't give evidence to those who say, oh, he lost his step. He didn't know players' names. It didn't matter. So if he didn't know a player's name, he just said, Ottawa over center. Take a drink. And I said that in my comments about Bob Cole's passing. I said, on his last game ever called, he was better than everyone calling games right now. I don't care if he didn't know the players' names. You are there for the energy that he brings. When you watched a Bob Cole game, you would call friends. It's Bob's calling this game. Oh, he's in Montreal. Oh, man, he's calling the Habs game tonight. It was an event. And I loved hearing former players, namely Wayne Gretzky, talk about Bob Cole. It wasn't lost on them. Not that the current broadcasters are nameless, but they don't have the same gravitas as a Bob Cole. If Bob Cole was in the booth calling your game, that was a big event. So I openly wept all day. It was paramount to the passing of Gord Downie to this country, in my mind. A part of the fabric of this country. Ottawa. Joe Sakic. And I remarked on this too. I said, yeah, everyone's posting the great calls and stuff, but it was just so many times Bob would get into talking about something or a play and you're like, how's he going to get out of this? How's he going to get out of this? And he wouldn't. And oh, geez. It was just awesome to hear. If you lived in the same era of time as I did growing up, then you got to bask in Bob Cole's greatness for a long time. So yeah, that sucks. Never got to meet him. Wanted to have him on this podcast. Didn't want to bother him in retirement. But yeah, never got to meet Bob Cole. That's one of the downfalls of never being in the field. Always anchored to a desk. Never got to go out and meet the greats. And a great tribute by CBC on the other night. Montage of Bob Cole stuff. And seeing the interviews with him, he was so humble, saying, the game's not about me. It's my job to relay what's going on in the arena, what's going on in the game. It's not about me. But Bob, I hope he knew it was. A Bob Cole game was about Bob Cole. So I mentioned I was back from Dover, Delaware. As I got to be the Grand Marshal of the Bet Rivers 200. It was the Xfinity Series race on Saturday at the Monster Mile. With the big boys, the Cup Series going on Sunday, the Worth 400. Got to go with my daughter Ruby. It was a fantastic trip as she got to go to all her favorite American stores. So we hit Target at least 10 times. We went to Five Below, a store I'd never heard of, but it's kind of like a dollar store. We went to the world famous Wawa gas station. Hit up Jersey Mike's. Went to actually Jersey Mike's, got the number 3 as I always do. Speedy, it was right after the race. There was a Jersey Mike's in which people had to walk by on the way out of the race. And we couldn't get into our hotel, which was connected to the racetrack, after the race because they close all the traffic one way. So get everyone the hell out of there as fast as they can. So I'm like, Ruby, we're stuck here and there's a Jersey Mike's right there. So I'm going in. And as you might expect on a 30 degrees Celsius. Those fans were sitting in the sun all day. Drinking beer. Sweaty, exhausted. So the Jersey Mike's was packed. And 80% of the clientele was extremely inebriated, but everyone was on their best behavior. Got my sub quick. And as I'm paying, I hear a guy who dripping in sweat, barely able to stand up, holler out, burn my sub. And I'm like, oh no, this isn't going to go well. And they're like, everyone kind of ignored him. He's like, I ordered my sub 20 minutes ago. Where is it? I'm like, yeah, that's weird because I ordered my sub a minute ago and I have it in my hand. So all of a sudden, the manager comes out of nowhere. He's like, what's the problem? The guy's like, oh, my sub 20 minutes ago, haven't got it. Who'd you order from? That guy right there. Manager. He's obviously been in this situation before. Well, that's not where you order. What person did you order it from? That guy. It's his third day. What's your sub? Stop that right in its tracks. I was hoping for a round of applause from everyone in Jersey Mike's. This manager's like, this bullshit's not going on in my store. And the poor kid at the till, he's probably like, do you have to tell everyone I just started? But thanks for having my back. It's his third day. Give him a break. Kid's taking orders. Buddy, the orders are down there. You don't take them. I don't know what's going on. I just started here. So, yeah, got to do the driver's start. I actually was filled with fear on the Friday night. So I meet as we got to the hotel, they're like, we're going to come to your hotel and tell you everything that's going on for the day. I'm like, no problem. Meet them in the lobby. They're like, okay. So race starts at 2 at 1:08. We're going to introduce you on the stage and then you say whatever you want to say. And then the driver introductions. And then just before the race, we go, drivers, start your engines. I'm like, well, back up here. You want me to give a speech? They're like, yeah. I'm like, how long? They're like, I don't know, 1 to 2 minutes. I'm like, whoa, oh my God. No one told me about this. So I played it cool. I'm like, no problem. I got this. So, I had to lie in bed thinking about that, but knocked it out of the park. Here's what I said. I said, I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm sure you appreciate the honesty. I couldn't sleep a wink last night. Why? Because I knew today was the Bet Rivers 200. And not just that. It's at the only track we demanded it be at. The Monster Mile, baby. Who's ready for some racing? And just quickly, tornado victims, because the tornado hit the day before all over the States. Tornado victims, we can't stop thinking about you. With that in mind, hug somebody today you don't know who needs it. Dover, I love you. Let's go racing. Get off the stage. The track president, Mike's like, oh, man. Can you give my speech next time? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I got off the stage, all the drivers get introduced, and then I was put back on the track to give the signal. They actually have a clipboard with the drivers, start your engines. And I'm like, do some people need that? They're like, you wouldn't realize how many people forget drivers, start your engines. And here's how it went when I did it.
Dover, are you ready to go racing? Yes, sir. Drivers, start your engine!
Now, Z Money and producer Tim were saying I did that with a British accent. I never realized that. I don't hear the accent. I don't hear it at all. Z, really?
I think it's the stat, yeah. And I mean, maybe it's a Boston accent. Maybe it's not English. I don't know. Maybe I just don't know my accents.
Yeah. Well, they liked my energy. They remarked upon it throughout the weekend. They're like, that's the loudest someone's ever yelled. And I'm like, well, I got to do it big. And in the clip, it's not here right now, but I have a Monster Mile statue that they gave to me to to keep as the Grand Marshal. And it's big. Like, it weighs probably 25 pounds. So as soon as they hand it to me, I'm like, Ruby, how the hell do I get this in our carry-on? Because we just went with carry-on for this flight. Bring it up to the suite that they had all the Bet Rivers people in. I'm like, guys, before I finish my sentence, they're like, we're going to get it shipped to you. Don't worry. So very soon, we'll have the Monster Mile trophy here. And I later realized the monster for the Monster Mile, his name is Miles. guys, it's not a... Have you ever been scared of a Miles? But I understand why they named him that. But could have been something a little slightly scarier. Like Mega. Or I don't know. Rock Boy. Because it's a rock. He's built out of rocks. Rock Man. Maybe I'm not that good at naming monsters either. And then after the race, we went and checked out the beach. There's beaches all over around Dover. And on our way out to the airport on Monday, we went into Philadelphia. What a beautiful city. I'd never been there in my life. Into the downtown core. Being from just outside Toronto, I was baffled that there was no construction. There was no traffic backups. That we were able to drive right into downtown Philadelphia without a hitch. And then leave for the airport a couple hours later with no traffic either. From the downtown core to the airport in Philadelphia is 15 minutes. I'm like, man. That traffic really is bad in the Toronto area. And I always heard Philadelphia was like a gritty, hard-nosed town. I didn't get that sense at all. Obviously, I was in the touristy areas. Like, we were at the bottom of the Rocky Steps. Ruby had never seen the movie. I'm like, you want to go up there? She's like, no. Okay. There's a museum. No, I don't want to go to a museum. So I'm like, okay, we'll just walk around Philadelphia. Yeah, I will be back. And on the way into Philly, you see the Eagles Stadium, the Philly Stadium, and the Flyers Arena all right in the same area. All beautiful stadiums, sports specific. Philly, they've got it figured out. Did not see a single Philly cheesesteak restaurant or sign. Next time I will go a bit more prepared and with someone who wants to actually... although Ruby was the perfect travel companion. Didn't complain once. Sat through. Because we only stayed for half of the NASCAR race on Sunday. Sat through close to 400 miles of racing for a 13-year-old who'd never been to a race. That's a lot. So she was a trooper. And she might want to go again. Who knows? But next time I will inform her, we will go to museums. And when you go to a museum with me, we're in and out 30 minutes. We go in, get the gist, and get the hell out. We aren't here to analyze artifacts. I just want to see the Bryce Harper displays at the Museum of Natural History, if they even have one of those. So all in all, 10 out of 10 weekend. Thank you to Bet Rivers. This is the other thing. So when I was down on the track, I was the only Bet Rivers representative. And everyone I encountered that was putting the race on thought I owned the company. And guess what? I ran with it. They're like, thanks so much for putting this race on. I'm like, no problem. Least I could do. Oh, we're so happy to have you guys as the sponsors. I'm like, I love it. At least five or six people. And Ruby's like, I think they think you own the company. I'm like, I know. Let's just see how far this will take us. And it took us very far because we had golf cart service wherever we wanted to go. Ruby wants some ice cream. Okay, well, let's go. So if someone thinks you're the president of a company, don't tell them no. Just roll with it. And do a British accent when starting a race. It wins the fans over real quick. Okay, we're going to do something here on Boomsies. We're going to steal a page from Tim Heidecker and his Office Hours show, which I'm a massive fan of. Every week they have a city of the day. And we want to do our version of that. We won't call it that, but we want to spotlight small towns in this beautifully overtaxed country of ours. Your town, your village, your hamlet. If you're proud of it, tell us. Email us. Yeahletstalk@gmail.com. Yaletstalk@gmail.com. And you can also call us. I always lose our phone number here. I haven't memorized the new one. Here, hang on. I got it. 289-809-9690. 289-809-9690. We will have a fun name for this segment in which we can focus and heap praise on a town that needs it. Z-Money, with your boisterous laugh, anything I missed that we should throw in before we skedaddle and prepare ourselves for game six between the Leafs and Bruins?
I mean, I don't think so. We had, we covered lots of great stuff here today. I mean, I don't think we need to get into any of the other things.
Now you're much younger than me, Z. You're like 19. Did Bob Cole have the same impact on your hockey watching as he did for me?
Yeah, he definitely did. He was an icon, and he was somebody that I looked up to as I tried to get into this industry. I remember when I first went to college for sports broadcasting, I found a lot of other people knew a lot of the other broadcasters for other stations and other networks. And I just knew Bob Cole. I mean, that was really all I wanted to be. I remember my dad talking to me about I needed a catchphrase like Bob's, like the old baby and stuff like that. And he was who I wanted to emulate. And he was one of the reasons why I got into this industry.
Ah, I love hearing that. I hope teams don't take it for granted. But in my mind, the local broadcasters for NHL teams are far superior to the national broadcasters. And I'm not saying that to slight anyone, but I think a lot of local fans get ripped off when it comes playoff time because you got a nationally broadcast game. You're like, oh man, I want to hear my guy. Like, who's the guy in Edmonton? He is so good. Let me find it here. What am I? I play. Jack Michaels. If there was someone who, although he was a lot more boisterous than Bob Cole, but Sam Rosen for the Rangers and Jack Michaels for the Edmonton Oilers, the top two play-by-play people. And I put John Shorthouse in there for the Canucks, who is getting his time in the spotlight, which whenever he calls a game, I always say, why don't they use him more? He's calling Canucks games on Sportsnet. He is fantastic. He's been there a long time. So those are my top three right now that are calling games. And if you ever get a chance to hear Jack Michaels call an Oilers game, it is a thing of beauty. So But we'll hear Chris Cuthbert on the call. Also fantastic. We'll hear him on the call for game six. Oilers, Bruins, Leafs. And that will decide. We'll know by this time next week whether we're dissecting the Leafs or everyone on that team's management, on that roster, in that organization gets a reprieve because they will have made it to the second round or been ousted. Oh, man. I don't know how Leafs fans do this. I'm so glad I'm not a Leafs fan because the roller coaster would kill me. Have yourself a great week. As I said on the mic in Dover, hug someone you don't know who needs it. Throw a hug in there and be nice. Doesn't cost you anything.
Welcome to Boomsies with Dan O'Toole. Live from Orno in the heart of Ontario. Oh, baby, Boomsies.
Thanks for listening to Boomsies.